This is the Sound of Small Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm JP Davidson, and these are the inspiring stories and hard-earned lessons of successful Canadian entrepreneurs. Matt Pierrot's entrepreneurial journey starts on a bus, on tour with his band in the 90s.
The band was called Hocus Pick. Got a Nashville record deal and toured around North America for 10 years, made 8 records, and managed to make a living playing in a Christian rock band.
Matt took an interest in the business side of the band when he realized they weren't making any money.
We went on tours where we'd have good revenue and we'd get back and realize that we lost money and we couldn't pay ourselves. And we'd scratch our heads going, well, how did that happen? We were so far in debt that I saw myself getting a day job and spending 5 years paying off this debt. Or I could figure out how to make this band turn into a profitable entity and pay it back in 1 or 2 years.
Matt worked hard to get costs down and revenues up. He took over some jobs they'd been contracting out, and things started to turn around.
When I took over the booking, the band started making money.
Then he turned his attention to what could be a big moneymaker, t-shirts.
A musician really does live on his t-shirt sales. There was one tour where we were so incredibly broke that we couldn't afford to have a t-shirt printer print our t-shirts. We got about 500 red t-shirts for $200 or something. And then we went to the hobby store and we bought a little screen printing kit for $50. And we printed shirts in the green room on show days. We would print as many shirts as we'd think we would sell. And then we would hang them up outside and say, hand printed by the band backstage 20 minutes ago. And you wouldn't believe how many of those we sold. Even like the band we were opening for would shake their heads and go, I can't believe how many of those you're selling.
Years later, this entrepreneurial spirit and t-shirt printing experience would become the basis for a thriving business, Vancouver-based Bold Merchandise. But to get there, Matt would have to seize an opportunity and take a big leap. And as luck would have it, just as the band was wrapping up their final tour, an opportunity presented itself.
A concert promoter who we'd worked with several times mentioned it to my other guys. He said, hey, if any of you want to start a screen printing business, that's what I do for a living, and I have some old equipment I'd give you. So this message was passed on to me while I was actually on the phone with my wife. And I just said, tell him yes, I'll take it.
And with that offhand decision, Matt ended his career as a touring musician and dove into the t-shirt printing business.
I thrive on risk, and I am an entrepreneur right to the bottom of me.
Not everyone was quite so optimistic.
My wife quit her job at the same time. So we were both unemployed at 30 and pregnant. So, you know, the in-laws were going, how's this going to work? And I'd be going, it'll work.
You must have been their favorite son-in-law.
Yeah. At the time, I think they were losing some sleep at night going, oh gosh, he went from being a musician and riding a motorcycle to now he's just unemployed. This is going from bad to worse.
Matt needed the business to succeed, so he didn't waste any time in getting to marketing.
I ran an ad in the Yellow Pages before I'd even printed a single shirt. I just thought, you know what? It'll give me a good deadline. The day it hit, I got a phone call. Someone sent me the art, and I looked at it and I went, I have no idea how to print this. But I said, excellent, for sure, I can do that in a week. And then I proceeded to figure it out.
He did figure it out. And the garage-based business grew quickly from there, maybe even growing beyond what could or should fit in a residential garage.
So this is the garage that housed the printing business for many a year. It's a 2.5-car garage that was custom-built for the purpose, and it has a loft on one side of it. So basically, we sat on top of the press when we did our office work and answered our phones. Hey, you should come up to the loft. Come on up. We had quite an operation going in this garage. We had two presses, and the shirts were spilling out onto the porch of the garage. Couriers came and went all day long. But then we got this order for the District of North Vancouver, and I thought, oh no, going to get in trouble for this, and they're going to kick us out.
Someone from the local government had ordered some shirts. They weren't coming for an inspection or anything, but it was enough to put Matt on edge.
Now, you are allowed to manufacture, and I did have a business license, but there are limits, right? And I knew I had pushed past the edges of those limits about a year ago, and I was doing more than I should in a garage, I thought. So the lady from the district of North Vancouver shows up to pick up her shirts. I'm kind of gritting my teeth going, okay, here it comes. She came at the worst possible moment too, because it was the summer, it was hot, and I had employed a neighbor across the street. I had their son, who was 16, doing some cleanup. Because it was hot, he was wearing no shirt. And the daughter, who was 12, was stacking up shirts. And she walks in and she goes, oh, look, a sweatshop. And I'm like, oh, this looks really bad.
Matt was sweating, and not just from the heat. Coming up, we'll find out how this visit from the district ends. But first, The Sound of Small Business is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Delaine Constant is an account manager at RBC in Vancouver. She's worked with Bold Merchandise and Matt for a while now.
I guess it was back in September of 2008. He just came in to see us about getting a loan. He was doing this color screen printing on t-shirts and was wanting to get a color dye printer. He has since outgrown his building a couple of times. The business has just been progressively growing as the time has gone on, but he's never stopped with the growth, with marketing, with taking on new clients. He just keeps continuing to grow.
And a growing business needs the right kind of support. That's where Delaine comes in. She's always looking for ways to help business owners like Matt succeed.
I've been to his old shop many, many times. In fact, one time I'd gone there to get him to sign some documents. When I was there, because I've visited quite often and know how many machines he had and so forth, I noticed that he had another new printing machine. I just suggested that for cash flow purposes, it would be better for him to have a loan. Then we can hold the equipment as security, so it's easy to get done and frees up his cash flow. So he was quite agreeable to that.
Delaine could see firsthand how Matt's needs were changing, and she was able to suggest a more sustainable financing solution on the spot.
I think the better you understand your clients and their challenges, the better equipped you are to help them and advise them. The bottom line is that we want to do what's best for the client.
To connect with your own RBC business specialist, visit your local RBC Royal Bank branch or go to rbc.com/buildingbusiness today. Okay, so Matt's business, Bold Merchandise, is getting a visit from the district, and he doesn't think it's going very well. The business feels too big for the garage, and one of the neighborhood kids is working shirtless in the sweltering summer heat.
And she looks around and she goes, "This is the best home-based business I have ever seen. The District of North Vancouver needs more businesses like this. This is a community working together." And she said, "This is great. This is a little home-based business that is bursting at the seams, that is making stuff, that is employing the neighborhood kids, that is part of a community, and your commute is across your backyard." So she was like, "This is awesome. I'm taking pictures and bringing it back to the district," which was not what I expected. So it was a pleasant surprise.
It was a relief, too. But Matt knew he couldn't keep the business in the garage much longer. So he moved it into a proper commercial space where the business continued to grow. Matt says the company's steady growth is at least in part because of their broad base of small and medium-sized customers.
A lot of schools, a lot of clubs, a lot of churches, a lot of teams, and a lot of bands. We do a lot in the music industry and some TV shows. I know a lot of my competitors focus on one particular market. And my goal was I would rather have 500 customers each ordering $1,000 a year than to have 10 customers each ordering 50,000. It seems, and it is, a whole lot more recession-proof.
But remember, like a lot of entrepreneurs, Matt is all about grabbing whatever opportunities come his way. And in 2011, when the Vancouver Canucks were making their way through the playoffs and into the Stanley Cup Finals, an opportunity with a huge customer came along that was just too good to pass up.
We got a contract supplying Walmart stores with Canucks merchandise. And the licensee that I'm dealing with normally makes their shirts in Honduras. But when a team gets in the playoffs, they just want to go week to week. So then they'll go to a local printer, and they're not going to get stuck with 10,000 shirts they can't sell.
As long as the Canucks kept winning, Matt would get an order for 8,000 to 10,000 shirts every Monday.
So we're cranking out Canucks shirts, and we're cranking out all of our other customers. And it was a lot. It was a lot of printing. And all my staff are working overtime. I'm working some ridiculous hours. But, you know, strike while the iron's hot. That's what you got to do when you're in a business, right?
The Canucks kept winning, so Matt kept cranking out the shirts. He was also spending a lot of money. All that overtime, all that ink, all those blank shirts.
I started to realize that we were pretty quickly running out of cash to buy the next batch of inventory. And the company card was full, the company line of credit was full. And then I realized that payday was coming up. Monday, they're going to want 10,000 more shirts. And on Wednesday, I have to pay everyone who works here. And they've been cranking out the overtime, so it's going to be big. I don't have the money for either of those things. It was the perfect storm, really, it was.
Matt knew Walmart would reliably pay him on Thursday, but that wasn't soon enough. He was in a jam and needed money in a hurry.
So I called up Delane, who is my small business banker at the Royal Bank.
Now, Delane had a long-standing relationship with Matt and his business. She knew he was reliable and that he had this big contract with a reliable customer. But still, it was a big ask. She filed a special request to temporarily extend Matt's line of credit. And it was approved just in time.
I got my money from Walmart on the Thursday and it was all good. But that, you know, that little window there, honestly, I'm not quite sure what I would have done.
As the Canucks' winning streak came to an end, Matt found himself feeling more than a little conflicted.
I knew that if the Canucks won the Stanley Cup, I would be printing probably more like 30,000 shirts a week. So I was sitting there on my couch watching this last hockey game with complete mixed emotions, going, come on, Canucks, win the game! And at the same time going, kind of wouldn't mind it if you lost. Because then I'd actually, like, you know, be able to go home before midnight. But, you know, I was brokenhearted. I'm a Canucks fan. So, yeah, it was really sad, but a relief at the same time.
Since then, the business has continued to expand as Matt continues to grab opportunities that others might pass by. For example, in 2014, he was considering adding embroidery to Bold's offerings.
In true Matt fashion, the embroidery department happened a lot in the same way the whole screen printing started.
He went to check out an embroidery machine he saw on a local auction website.
But it was huge. It was way bigger than I thought it would be. And it was kind of older than I wanted. Nope, this is not my machine. It's too big and it's too old.
But the man at the auction was persistent and convinced him to put in a super lowball offer. What harm could it do?
I went back to my shop, sat down in front of my desk, opened up my email, and it said, congratulations, you're the winning bid. And then I went, oh, I have nowhere to put this thing. It's too big and it's too old. So then I ended up buying a bigger warehouse, moving all the equipment, replacing some screen printing equipment, hiring some new people, and then moving this giant machine in there, which is running every day now. So in the end, it was a good move, but it's kind of typical entrepreneurial, I guess we're doing this.
Entrepreneurs seem to thrive on that, solving problems as they arise. And one challenge a lot of entrepreneurs face is the transition from doing everything themselves to being a manager.
Starting this business, I had never worked for a company, right? Other than when I was 18 and I bagged groceries at Safeway. That's as high up the corporate ladder I ever went. So the understanding of how to create a corporate culture or how to create a structure really wasn't something I'd ever had any experience with. What I enjoyed the most was the craft of creating shirts. But as the business grows, what you end up doing is managing people, which is not my skill. I don't like managing people. I'm not particularly good at it. And I kept on having these staff turnovers. I'd have this new set of staff, we'd train them up, we'd get going, and then it would all just fall apart. And this same thing happened three times. The advice of my accountant was, well, maybe you just need to hire somebody who actually knows how to manage people. And then you can go back to growing a business, which is something you actually know how to do. And I went, ah, that's a good idea, which is what I did.
Matt hired a consultant to get a handle on the immediate issues, beefed up his management team, and started meeting with them on a weekly basis.
Okay, the other thing I had on our list was monthly specials. You guys were going to go over the extra stock,
which we didn't this week.
I can definitely come in a bit early if you want to just go.
I realize now that at this stage of the game, my role should be less busy, more thinking, more planning, stuff like that that kind of doesn't feel like work. I don't feel busy all the time. So it's a real shift from a guy who got his business going by working really hard and being really busy all the time to a guy who now sort of stands on top above all the action that's going on and observes a lot and watches what's going on and then meets with different people to talk about what's going on and just a little massage here and a little tweak there and a little meeting here to keep it all going. Kind of doesn't feel like work, but I've been learning that is my role, that is my job now. It does feel a whole lot better than it did. So hopefully we're on a different course than we were before.
Of course, Matt isn't totally hands off. Today, his general manager is away, so he's on the shop floor proofing a design.
I would just add a tiny bit more red, and then I'd say you're there.
It's clear that he cares a lot about his employees and credits them with a lot of the business's success.
Elaine! Eric's back.
He's back.
He brought a Tofino t-shirt.
Although Matt says people management isn't his strong suit, he's clearly learning, and he's surrounded himself with great help.
Good. Does everyone know what they're doing? Any questions?
Looking ahead at the future of the business, he wants to see continued growth, of course. But there's yet another opportunity he'd like to seize.
I would like to see it happy, which is probably a weird answer. If we're still this same size 5 years from now, then so be it. But the most important challenge for me is that it's a happy work environment, as much for myself as for everyone who works here.
Matt strives to have an impact beyond his company, too. He often teaches young people how to print, and he's even headed to Nairobi soon to help set up a shop there.
It feeds the soul. I have a friend who works in career counseling for people who have had a hard time staying in jobs, and she says, you want to change someone's life? Give them a job. So this is an opportunity for me to take what I have and what I can offer the world and maybe help somebody's life change for the better. And that's a good feeling.
Saying yes to opportunities has propelled Matt's business forward. And maybe that willingness to seize opportunities as they float by is the mark of a true entrepreneur.
Well, I say to my kids all the time, enough that they roll their eyes at me when I say it now. I say, every single day, life puts opportunities right in front of you, just hands them to you. There they are. The majority of people don't see them or choose to ignore them or think they're ridiculous and let them pass you by. I say, every day life puts an opportunity in front of you. It's what you do with that opportunity that makes your life. So pick some of them up, shake them, break them open, see where they take you.
Now that we've heard the story of Bold Merchandise, let's take a closer look at what we could learn from Matt's experiences. I spoke with Melanie Lang, director of the Center for Business and Social Entrepreneurship at the University of Guelph. Hi, Melanie. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Matt seemed to naturally gravitate towards entrepreneurship, first with his band and then with the t-shirt printing business. Do you think some people are born entrepreneurs?
I think that there are some that are more entrepreneurial than others, certainly. And I think it comes down to perhaps their comfort level with uncertainty, with, you know, not having all of the facts and figures in front of them and being able to just take like a leap of faith. I think in Matt's case, you know, he's a creative guy. And I think that lends itself very nicely to the world of an entrepreneur, because oftentimes you have to make the best with what you have and you have to think outside the box and you have to be very creative, both in terms of your product and how you market towards your user groups, but then also creativity around scarcity. You know, what are you supposed to do if you don't have resources to carry you through? And there's some creativity that goes hand in hand with that scenario as well.
Right. And you've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs. Are there common characteristics that you see among them, or is it a really sort of heterogeneous group?
Well, I mean, they're all different. And I think it's because they're, you know, they're offering different products or services and tend to be focused in different markets. But I would say in general, I would say that those that I've seen are the most successful are, you know, they're open to opportunities. They're coachable. They tend to not take no for an answer, I guess, too, is something else that's common characteristic, is that they believe, they're very passionate about what they're doing. They believe wholeheartedly in their idea, and they're willing to invest in what it takes in order to be successful.
You mentioned grabbing opportunities, and Matt attributes at least part of his success to seizing opportunities as they come up. Let's talk about that sort of balance between careful planning and being open to unplanned opportunities. What do you see as the risks and rewards of one or the other?
Not making a decision until you feel that you have taken into consideration all of the factors and variables and you know for certain what you think the outcome is going to be, then I think you're perhaps risking time that your product could be out in the market. That uncertainty sometimes creates hesitancy, and that's the risk, is the delay.
Mm-hmm. Matt got his business started by running an ad in the Yellow Pages mm-hmm. before he even really knew that he could deliver. Have you seen entrepreneurs sort of following that lead and testing the market using today's online tools?
Absolutely. It's perhaps a way in which that they push themselves. You know, now all of a sudden they've put themselves out there. You know, social media has just been amazing for entrepreneurs and startups as a low-cost entry to create awareness and excitement about a business.
Right. Well, Melanie, thanks for seizing the opportunity to talk to me today.
Not a problem.
Melanie Lang is the director of the Center for Business and Social Entrepreneurship at the University of Guelph. This has been The Sound of Small Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Search for The Sound of Small Business wherever you find podcasts, or visit rbc.com/buildingbusiness, where you can find advice and tips on how to start, manage, or grow your business. Thanks for listening. This podcast series is intended as general information only and is not to be relied upon as constituting legal or other professional advice.